Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Join Carol as she shares her knowledge on a topic of interest to everyone, money. On the show, Carol will discuss starting and running a microbusiness, teaching your kids about money, and managing money in a homeschool organization. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
Well, hi, everybody. Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Show. This is Carol Topp, and I have a guest with me today, and we're going to talk about a great topic. I hope it's going to be enjoyable to a lot of you. We're going to talk about money myths that homeschool moms believe. And if you're like me, do you have any curriculum sitting on your shelf that, if you were honest with yourself, you probably will never use? Yeah, I do, and I'm retired from homeschooling, and I remember that feeling of looking at stuff on my shelf thinking, oh, it was so good when I bought it. Now I'm probably never going to use it. Well, we're heading into homeschool convention buying season, right? This is the spring and summer when you might be attending homeschool conventions, and you might fall prey to some of these money myths that we're going to talk about today. So welcome, Susan. Susan Raver's on the line. She's from near me in Dayton, Ohio.
Hi.
Hi, Susan. Susan blogs over at athomeandschool.com, and it was there that I read one of her blog posts. And in there, she gave some great tips about handling the money as a homeschool family. Susan, tell us a little bit about that blog, about your blog post. What was the name of that blog post that you had?
Well, it was called Homeschool Reality on a Budget. And it was part of a little series that I did about the realities of homeschooling, because quite often what we see is the rosy picture of how wonderful homeschooling is. And it is wonderful. But occasionally, I think my fear is that sometimes we talk so much about how wonderful homeschooling is that new homeschoolers come in with these expectations, mm-hmm. and they're so disappointed when they can't recreate this beautiful picture that we've painted. So I did some homeschool reality that I hope was helpful.
I think that's great, and it was a great blog post over at athomeandschool.com. I'll put the link to it in the show notes for this program over at thedollarsandcentsshow.com, if that's where you're listening. So you're up the road from me in Dayton. I'm a retired homeschool mom. I homeschooled for 14 years, but you're still homeschooling. Oh, I think you've had some of your children graduate, right? Tell us a little bit about your family, Susan.
Well, I have a 25-year-old boy, 17-year-old boy, 15-year-old girl, and 12-year-old boy. And my oldest graduated in 2006 and went into the military. And after 5 years in the Army, he came home, and now he's in college studying criminal justice and business administration. And, yeah, it's homeschooling for about 20 years and probably looking at least four more.
Wow. Well, yeah, you're a veteran like me. And you also run a homeschool group, and we reconnected. I want to tell the homeschool leaders out there that there's this wonderful Facebook group called I Am a Homeschool Group Leader. I think I have that right, Susan? It's kind of a closed group, meaning you have to ask to be let in, which is
yeah.
Fine. It's pretty easy, but you have to ask, and it's a fabulous group, and we've talked about leading homeschool groups. But,
yeah.
But today we're going to talk a little bit differently. We're going to talk about money myths. We've got five money myths that homeschool moms believe. And the first one I want to touch on, I guess I've gathered these from just my experience of homeschooling. And again, being a CPA, I think about money a lot. And I get asked opinions, and I get asked to advise people about their money. So the first money myth I want to touch on, and Susan will jump in here with her observations too, is this belief that just a little more money is all I need, or just a little more money will solve all of my problems, or even just a little more money will make homeschooling easier. But ultimately, it's not really money that is the problem, or lack of money. It's really sometimes lack of contentment. I think sometimes as homeschoolers, we think, oh, if I could only afford to buy the super slick math program, then my child would understand math and it would be easy and better and stuff like that. But that's not really true. Instead, we're somehow just lacking contentment, which is not something we talk about a whole lot in the world today, contentment. What do you think, Susan?
Well, I agree. I think we do get caught up in this idea, and it is true, we think that if I had a little bit more money, all of our problems would go away. Our health issues, our, you know, the things we have to deal with in our homes, the washing machine, the dishwasher, the lawnmower, the car. If we just had enough money to have all of the brand spanking new stuff out there, it would solve our problems. But really, at the end of the day, I'm still me, and me still has to deal with me. And all the money in the world is not going to change me. And a lot of what we think are money issues are character issues. And I think there's a difference between researching. I advise people to do a lot of research. Talk to people, your fellow homeschool community, and make connections. But at the end of the day, there's research, and then there's insecurity and covetousness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And many homeschool myths are busted when a family can leave behind that traditional schooling expectation, like arbitrary developmental milestones. When you're 10 years old, you're supposed to be doing this. And when you're 12 years old, you're supposed to be doing that. And we need to break out of that and see our children as individuals.
Amen. You're so right. I think what happens is we end up comparing ourselves to other homeschoolers, and that's where that insecurity or even fear comes in, like you said. And I came out across this phrase a couple years ago called contentment robbers. These are things that we're exposed to that steal our contentment, and they're things like catalogs, homeschooling catalogs, because you think, you know, the grass is always greener, or you're looking. Research is fine, like you said, but sometimes those catalogs can kind of cause us to lose our contentment with what we have. Homeschooling curriculum fairs, homeschooling websites, forums, magazines, even, like I said, other homeschoolers, because they look so glitzy or glossy or like it's going to solve our problems. And that's not really it. But what do you think steals contentment, Susan? Did I hit the list?
Yeah, I think there's something inside of us, because what are things that we can look at and we just feel no desire to do that or have that? I can do that. I can look at an all expense paid vacation to the Bahamas and go, no. I like home.
Yeah.
I'm happy here. For some reason, that is not something that makes me feel discontent. So what is it in me that is causing me to feel covetousness or insecurity, or even, you know, just lusting after it's new and shiny, so I want it. What is that within us? And letting the Lord deal with our hearts. Is it really a lack of quality resources? Or is it something that God is trying to do in us? Is he trying to teach us discipline, endurance, patience?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it really does boil down to a character issue. It can also be just misinformation. We have preconceived notions of what education should look like. And, again, we have to let some of those ideas go, because those ideas are based on a completely different model of education. We grew up in a public school in an age-graded, segregated classroom, and we might have to let that go to homeschool. And some of that, those contentment robbers are just based on those deeply ingrained ideas that we have that we're having a hard time letting go of. But the reality is, we have left the main highway, and we are on a road less traveled. It's okay to take some time to pray and consider what is the best fit for me and my family.
That's right. And I've got a couple tips to try to deal with this first myth as we're going to wrap it up and head on to our second myth. But, you know, don't fall for the belief it's just a little more money. is going to solve all your problems. Be aware of what your eyes and ears are hearing that are stealing your contentment. So don't look at homeschool catalogs unless you have a specific need. That's the point. If you're just, and I've done this, I remember doing this, you know, just looking through homeschool catalogs and you end up finding things you didn't even know you needed, that's dangerous. So wait until you have a need and then go, like Susan said, research it. Or go with a shopping list when you go to the convention hall and pick up those things, of course. And I see this with moms. They have a shopping list, and they'll come by my booth, and they'll say, do you have this book or that book? You know, and then I get the browsers, especially this happens with the men. You know, they're kind of bored, and they're just looking around, and all of a sudden they'll stumble across, you know, my booth, which is micro business for teens, and I get a lot of guys kind of hanging out at my booth sometimes. And that's fine. They're being exposed to something, but it's not on the shopping list. So watch that kind of stuff. I give out a lot of information at my booth so that people can decide if that's something their teenager's interested in, come back and buy it. So those are my tips for warning during the shopping season. Look at catalogs only when you have a need, or hop online when you have a need, and be careful and shop with a shopping list. We're going to take a little short break right now, and we'll be right back with myth number two.
Homeschool leader, do you feel confused or overwhelmed by the job of running your homeschool group? You're not alone. Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA, is here to help. Carol is an accountant, author, and retired homeschool mom who understands you. Her website has helpful information on co-ops, paying workers, and managing the money in a homeschool group. If you need personalized advice, set up a consultation with Carol. She's happy to discuss your particular situation. Visit homeschoolcpa.com today and get the information you need to successfully run your homeschool group.
Okay, welcome back. This is Carol Topp, and I have with me Susan Raber, another homeschool mom, kind of a veteran like myself, and we're talking about the money myths that homeschool moms believe. We talked about our first myth, that a little more money will solve all my problems. But the second one, boy, we fall prey to this one, don't we, Susan? The myth is, I need, and then you fill in
right.
the blank. Well, right. What's the truth? What's the truth, though? I need? No, the truth is really that wants are very different from needs. And I tried to teach this to my children when they were growing up. They're in college now. But this is kind of something I borrowed from teaching I've had from Christian Financial Concepts, which is just now called Crown Financial Ministries, or Dave Ramsey. Christian teachers on biblical finance will tell you wants are different from needs, and you need to be aware of when your thinking has gone wrong to say, I need whatever, fill in the blank, when it really is a want. Do you think we fall prey to that, Susan?
Yeah, and I think really when we say that, what people hear sometimes is, well, how do I know what is the difference between a want and a need?
Ooh.
And I think what we have to do is spend that time to do some evaluation and some introspection and list the areas where you and your kids are strong and weak, and then look for the resources that address your weaknesses, that enhance the skills you already possess, that inspire your children to learn by focusing on their abilities and interests. And that may result in some very unique choices, perhaps choices that aren't anything like what our homeschool friends are doing.
Right.
But buying a program because it works for someone else, and it may work amazingly well for somebody else, but if you haven't really considered whether or not you and your family have the same needs and interests that this other family has, then you're going to waste your time and your money. You're going to feel frustrated. You're going to feel doubtful. There's going to be that sense of failure. And that time of introspection and evaluation will help you pinpoint purchasing the books that you truly need and focusing on the core competencies on which all subject areas are built, which are reading, writing, and math. And
those
are needs.
Those are needs, yes. I have to cover the basics, you're right. And then later you can add on all the extras and stuff. And I snickered when you talked about, you know, buying something because someone else used it without evaluating even if it was good for you. I bought a curriculum, Sight Unseen, because someone recommended it. One person recommended it. I mean, we're so fortunate now that we have the internet and we have reviews and we can go ask people opinions and our support groups are bulging at the seams and, you know, we have a lot. We can get a lot more feedback. But I bought this curriculum because one person recommended it, Sight Unseen. And then I bought the second version, whatever, edition of the book, Follow On, because it was on sale. My daughter never used either. And then I couldn't sell him because it was just not very well known. It was not. It was ultimately, Susan, not very well done. So that's my first number tip. Don't buy things sight unseen. I just had someone email me yesterday saying, you know, we'd like to see a sample of your micro business for teens books. Actually, they wanted a whole book. Well, to review it is what they said. Well, I offer sample pages. If you're considering curriculum and you can't find sample pages on a website, ask for a few sample pages to be emailed to you. So you're not buying things sight unseen. There's no reason to not have a few sample pages of something that you're going to buy to know if it's worthwhile.
Yeah.
Oh, and my other piece of advice, of course, don't buy more than 1 year. You know, buy the first edition first. See if you like it, and then go on and buy more later. It'll be there. If it's good, it'll be there. Don't worry. You know, I didn't save money. I wasted it. I wasted it.
Yeah, and that's happened to me, too, where we were using a math curriculum, and it was working great, third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade. Cool. I can just keep going with this. I can buy the high school. We'll just always use this. But it became tedious. The kids got burnt out on that approach, and it was very review intensive, and they started going, but I already learned this. I'm getting frustrated. I want to keep moving forward. And they felt like there was too much review. They didn't get that forward momentum that they wanted, and I ended up switching to something else because kids grow, they change, they have preferences of their own, and what's easy for me is not always the best learning experience for them.
Oh, that's true. And each of your kids is not the same either, right? I mean, I had one daughter who loved a particular wall, say it was Explode the Code, you know, loved those books. The second daughter didn't like them, you know. So it would have been very foolish of me to try to buy ahead. So I guess our big warning is to people under this myth of I need, you know, I don't need to buy everything this year for the future. Buy it as you go along. And you kind of said that in your blog. Only purchase books that you know you need, and I'd add, you know, you need now. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So try to avoid buying too far ahead. Okay, we've got one more myth. We'll touch on myth number three. We all say this. It was on sale. I saved a lot of money. Well, here's the truth. You didn't save money. You spent less, but you didn't save money until you take cash and put it in the bank. That's when you save money. So if you're willing to take the difference and put it in the bank, fine, then you really saved it. Now, nothing wrong with spending less. We're all, you know, excited about a sale. I was just working today, since it's the homeschool convention season, on deciding what my sales and my convention sales offers will be. That's great. But you always have to say, is the sale price a good price? So my daughter was looking at, and you've seen these, Susan, I know you have these catalogs that come in the mail, perfectly good products, but they'll say, you know, original price $500, they'll sell it to you for $150. And she asked me, well, Mom, how can they sell it at such a cheap price, $150? And I'm thinking, well, it's kind of pricey, $150. But I asked her, well, who says it was valued at $500 to begin with? These were audio sets, you know, and don't cost that much to manufacture. It might cost them to produce, to get the person to make the audio. Our video is very expensive, I know that. But you need to look and say, okay, so it was originally $500, now it's on sale for $150. Is it worth $150? Just don't even look at the $500 price, right? So don't fall for believing that you saved a lot of money just because something was on sale. It's still money leaving your hand, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And it does coming back to only purchasing what you need. Mm-hmm. And it is very tempting. I remember being in the nursery one time with a bunch of young women with young babies, and they were talking about their thrift store purchases of clothing. Yeah. They were very proud of themselves for all of these skirts and blouses and dresses that they had bought at the thrift store. But then they started talking about how they were using the closets in their children's rooms to store all their clothes because they had so many clothes. And I just thought, they don't see that they aren't saving money. If you have 30 pairs of jeans that you bought for $2 a pair, you can say,
yeah,
that's awesome, because somebody else might pay $30 or $60 for two pairs of jeans.
Right.
But really, how many pairs of jeans can you wear at once, and do you really need 30 pair?
Yeah.
So
it gets back to our first myth about contentment. You have to say enough. Enough is enough. So you said in your blog post, you know, to take a good hard look at the library and the internet. I'll tell you, Susan, I'm glad Pinterest was not around when I was homeschooling, especially my, you know, elementary school age kids, because I would have spent hours on Pinterest not getting homeschooling done. But Pinterest is a great place for printables and downloadables. And, oh, my gosh, it's just wonderful now, the resources that are out there that you don't have to spend a lot of cash on. We're gonna get to the fact about time in our next segment, but
mm-hmm.
But the library is wonderful. I mean, I know people. I bet you do too, Susan. They homeschool on a library card, meaning that's about what they spend the library. So.
Well, that we've done that a few years. I have a few posts on my blog about what I call library schooling, because we've had some lean years where we couldn't invest in new materials. And those are the years where I actually looked at what I had and said, why do I need something new? For instance, grammar. Is an elementary noun different from a high school noun?
Nope.
No.
Nouns
it's still a noun. The difference is the expanded details. You know, after when they're a kid, they learn a noun is a person, place, or a thing, and you have proper nouns and common nouns. Then we get in the high school, they start learning abstract, concrete, collective, compound verbals. So you could get one good quality, non-consumable high school grammar textbook, and that could get you from K to 12.
Simplify it for the younger kids and don't expose them to more than they're ready to absorb. Brilliant idea. You know what, Susan, let's mention your website again for people who might have forgotten, but it's called athomeandschool.com, and Susan's got some great blog posts. You just mentioned the one about library schooling. I like the name of that. That's pretty good, so take a look at that. We're going to wrap up this little show right now. We're going to share more money myths in our next episode of the Dollars and Cents Show podcast, so join us then for more money myths that homeschool moms believe.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.